This interview is with Angela Baldino, and it's November 14th, 1997. Wait, can you tell me a little about
your... 1997, you just said 87.
Oh, wait, 97. Can you tell me a little about your parents and where they came from?
Yes, both my parents were from Italy, of course. My mother was from a town called, you want to know that?
Okay.
Legastro, Italy. And my father was from Reggio, Calabria.
Okay, and when did they emigrate to America?
That I don't know. I can't remember.
Were they children or were they?
My mother was around 14, 15. I think my father was 10 years older than her, so.
Mm-hmm.
They met here and married here, though.
In Bridgeport?
Bridgeport.
Oh, okay. And why? Do you know why that they chose Bridgeport as a place to settle?
Well, her mother was here. And my grandparents, of course.
Oh, okay.
They were Mr. and Mrs. Fumaro. And he was a shoe repairman who had a business on Sherman Street, the street I was born on.
Okay, and when and where were you born?
I was born May 14, 1917. At home on Sherman Street. Midwife was the participant. I don't know, but I don't know. It was delivered by a midwife. That's all I know because my mother told me.
Can you tell me about your family? How many brothers and sisters? Little?
Well, my mother was very unfortunate. She had, I think we were 9 children. They all died except my sister and I, and she thinks, when we would talk about it, they died in infancy, and she thinks it was polio, because she remembers when the polio,
the epidemic,
came on. She says her children had the very same symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Can you tell me a little bit about the shop that your parents owned? Or was your grandparents' shop?
My grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had a home on Sherman Street, and across the street, my grandfather had a home with his shoe repair shop connected to it. Have you ever seen this setup? And that's it.
Did you work in the shop?
No. It wasn't that big.
Uh-huh. Did your father, what did your father do?
He was in real estate.
He was in real estate?
He died when I was 4 in an accident.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I don't remember him very well.
Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in Bridgeport?
I think it was wonderful. I love Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on Sherman Street. As I say, my grandparents lived across the street. We lived on the opposite side. They both owned their own homes. They weren't beautiful, believe me, but they were home, you know. They had a little yard. They would plant. My grandparents planted tomatoes, you name it, all vegetables in their yards. And not only they, most of the neighborhood did that, which, you know. And we were all poor, but none of us knew it because we were all happy. And that was it about that. But we went to the movies every Saturday. I think they were 5 and 10 cents each admission. And we saw mostly Westerns. I used to love to watch Westerns. And the way we killed time after school was... playing games in our yard or on the front porch. We would all congregate. We were a mixture of Irish, Italian, Jewish, and Polish in the neighborhood.
How important was the church in your family's life? Very extremely important. And where was the church?
We were really fortunate. Our church My grandfather was very devout with Holy Rosary Church because he was Italian.
Mm-hmm.
However, because we had a church, let's see if I can explain to you. On the end of our corner on Sherman Street was the convent, a beautiful convent. I still remember the stained glass windows.
Mm-hmm.
And the Order of the Sisters of Mercy was, that's where they lived. Across the street from them was St. Mary's Rectory and St. Mary's Church. And across the street from St. Mary's Church was St. Mary's School.
So that's where you went to school?
No.
Oh.
I don't know why I didn't go to school there, but they had their quota filled, and I was sent to Franklin. Franklin School was located on Nickel Street, and now it's torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very odd, because on my side of the street had to go to Franklin, and exactly the opposite side of the street had to go to Waterville.
Oh.
And I don't know why we were sectioned. We ended up in that. But every Tuesday, we would march from Franklin School to St. Mary's for our religious education, one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we received
the sacraments.
Communion, confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Were you a member of any social organizations? Or?
Children of Mary, connected with the church.
The church.
In fact, I crowned one year, whatever that means.
Can you tell me a little about the dress shop that you worked in after high school?
Started working at the dress shop part-time on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on after school, you know, when it got older.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dress shop was called, downstairs was called a Bridgeport Dress Store. It was a store about a half a block long, and they sold coats, dresses, underwear, everything you can think of, you know, women's stuff mostly. And they later on, that particular, the two brothers owned it, they were the Cunans. Very nice. I forget their first name, but they were very nice. And they later bought, you don't know Bridgeport at all, do you?
Kind of, not very well.
They bought K's on Main Street, and K's on Main Street remained about many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did a lot of other girls work at the dress shop part-time?
Yes. That was the store.
Mm-hmm.
However, we were upstairs also. It was a regular dress shop. Ever seen a dress shop, sewing machines,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. But we used to make better dresses upstairs, and they would go from us to New York City.
Oh.
To 7th Avenue. I remember our boss talking about 7th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
To the garment district. And I guess from there they went wherever.
Uh-huh.
And they were considered the more expensive, you know, like $40-$50 uh-huh. days was
yeah.
really, you know, money. So I worked upstairs as a draper, they call it drapery. But there were girls who worked on pinking machines, sewing machines, and men would be to do the pressing. Most of the men did the pressing.
Mm-hmm. And what did, your dad support you working after to help?
Well, as I said, he died when I was very
mm-hmm.
young, so he wasn't around when I was working.
Mm-hmm. So no one, like, did any?
My mother did, you know.
Uh-huh.
Between my grandfather and planning the yard and everything. We never suffered. We never were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we managed.
Uh-huh. Did your mom work when you were
I was little like that. No.
Uh-huh.
Many of the women stayed at home.
Many stayed at home.
We didn't get no welfare, though, because we owned our property. We never went for it. My grandfather was too proud. people around us did, because people, they needed it, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was necessary.
Yes.
Because I remember my mother being a landlord, being a two-family, and her tenants would pay her $2 a week to stay there for a $20 a month rent.
Mm-hmm. Now, did she do the cooking? Did she do cooking and cleaning for them as well? Was that involved in it, or did they? It was.
No.
She just. That was it.
No, they had their own flat.
Oh, they had their own. Okay.
She rented it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they would pay a month, $20 a month, for 4 months.
4 months.
And we had 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bathtub, which was very
unusual.
Some houses that have these big bath basins, I would call them, but we were fortunate we had a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. And you also worked at the Board of Education when you
were... Oh, when I became older.
And what was that job like?
That was even after I was married. I worked 23 years in the cafeteria, Board of Education cafeteria. I worked at Central. I started at Central. And I worked at Eastside Middle. Do you know Eastside Middle? It's not Eastside Middle anymore. I don't think they call it High Horizons or something.
Oh, okay. I think I've
heard that. Mm-hmm. Complex down, do you know Bridgeport at all?
I mean, in the last 4 years, I've been, been around.
Well, it's up in the, it's by Bullard Havens, very close to Bullard Havens in that area.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Near Bridgeport Hospital, that section.
Okay, I know.
Yeah,
that.
That's where I worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Between there and Central High School, I put in about 23 years.
Mm-hmm. And did you work when your children were in school?
Yes.
But you were home.
You know, that's why I took that job.
That was a good job. Yeah, it could be
in
there.
The summertime, I was home with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I had my mother. She was there when they came home at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was home about that time, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Did your job have any perks? Besides that you had the summers off and it was good for your children.
Did it have any what?
Perks, like did you have?
It was a hard work.
It was hard, yeah. And were you a member of a union at all?
Yes.
Were you active?
It was MAGE, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm. Were you active in it at all?
Not when I started.
Not when you
MAGE
started?
MAGE came in, I don't know why, what year, but they came in. It took a while, but it was, I was working a good 10 years, 11 years in the school system before
it was
unionized.
Mm-hmm. Did you experience any discrimination because of your sex or your ethnicity?
Well, the Irish people were here before, in our section of the city before us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they deliberately meant to do it, I don't know. But I remember having earrings. You know how about pierced earrings became stylish?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the Italians had earrings with pierced ears.
Uh-huh.
So I was sitting in church one day. We all went to the same church. And I remember them calling us greenhorns because we had
pierced ears
with earrings.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
However, I remember friends of mine, as I say, we were lucky we owned our own house. I remember Mrs. Latanzi was her name, but I don't know. She went for rent. She had to use, like for instance, my name was Baldino,
mm-hmm.
but I would use Baldwin so that she could get the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they wouldn't rent it to you. There was.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't so awful, but there was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was discrimination.
And can you describe?
But, I mean, they no one harassed us.
No,
hit us. It wasn't that violent. It wasn't violent.
Yeah.
But it was there.
It was, yeah.
It was somewhere, you know. Especially with us. Remember, both my parents never spoke English.
Oh, they didn't speak English?
I learned to speak English when I went to the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather spoke broken English. And
mm-hmm.
They spoke it.
They spoke Italian.
Not fluently. And my grandfather used to read the Italian newspaper, so he was up on everything, on, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But but it wasn't harmful. I don't know. At least I didn't
uh-huh.
feel bad. But, you know, we were called Greenhorn and some wops. But no one hit you with a stone or anything.
Yeah, it was more just name calling.
It was name calling words.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it seemed to just disappear more. Unless you grow up and, you know.
Uh-huh.
But like when you got to high school and everything, it was less and less. Now it's worse again. I don't know why.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately is right. But, because I had a very dear friend who was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And we were mixed.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? On your block,
yeah,
on Sherman Street?
Sure, because Huff Avenue was really Jewish. You know, the houses there where most of the Jewish people lived. And they used to go to their Saturday synagogue, and we used to go to our church.
Uh-huh.
There was no malice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the man on the corner of Sherman Street had he was Jewish and had a nice store, and we prayed there. And then we had Richesoft's Bakery, was a block and a half from our house, and they were Jewish, and we used to buy rye bread there, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, he catered to all of us.
Uh-huh.
It was different. It was a nice community.
Mm-hmm. And this was on the east side?
I don't even know. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that this is the place that, you know, where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
The convent is gone.
Oh, it is.
The church, the St. Mary's School is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not the way the church was when I grew up. It was a red brick building.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's changed. It's pretty, but I mean,
yeah.
It's just not the way it was.
Uh-huh.
Just not.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different.
Do you go back? You don't go back to...
I went back. I like to go back, but
mm-hmm.
you have to be driven down because the streets are all different. They made them all one way.
Uh-huh.
And it's confusion. You have to stop to think, you know, where
yeah.
you are, you know? But I think there's still Sherman Street, and there's still all the streets' names are still there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice area. It was East Main Street with Urim's. Urim's was a Jewish store, clothing and everything. He bought everything there. And then, of course, on the other end, we had Skydell's that moved out just about, I think, 8 or 9 years. They're gone. They were on Arctic and East Main.
Mm-hmm. And what was your living situation like as a young adult or as an adult? Did you still live in the East Side, on the East Side?
Lived in the East End until I married, and then I moved to the North End.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little about your husband and your children?
Well, I had Bernadette and Anthony. Anthony first, he's the oldest. And they went to school. I mean, to make it short, they went to school. They both graduated high school. Anthony went into the service when he was called for the Berlin crisis. Bernadette went to school, to high school, and then she stayed home a year, I think. Not home, but she worked in the library for a year, and then decided to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she did very well.
Where did she go to school?
Notre Dame.
Wow.
Anthony went to Central.
And where did she attend college?
She went to Connecticut, UConn? No,
mm-hmm.
No, it was not UConn. I always get her college.
Central Connecticut?
I don't know, but I know she graduated from Sacred Heart U.
Mm-hmm.
But she went there to get her, she went somewhere to get her master's degree in the library.
Mm-hmm. And did she live at home when she went to
school? Yeah.
What was
she
your,
always worked in the library.
She always worked in the library. What was your home like on the North End?
Oh, on the North End, I lived, again, across the street from St. Patrick's Rectory Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the convent. That was a convent, too.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my Bernadette went to St. Mary's School. And so it was very homey, too, because we know all the sisters that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all gone. And the school is gone. Her school is gone.
Her school.
Just recently, they came to another school. It's called in the middle. I don't know. It's a different school, but. And then she went from there to Notre Dame. Anthony went to Columbus School, which is gone. And that moved from where it was originally. There is a Columbus School, but it's not where it was originally. It was at the end of our block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a Columbus School, and I think it's in the park somewhere in the north end. In the Hollow, I think it is. Well, anyway, he graduated Columbus and graduated Central. He didn't go further. He didn't
mm-hmm.
want to. Have to come home from the service. Try to encourage him. He should have went.
Mm-hmm. Did you encourage Bernadette to go to college?
Did I what?
Did you encourage Bernadette?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I encouraged him, too.
Uh-huh.
I took a couple of tests, and I had to pay for them, and he didn't follow through. But I felt that education was very important.
Mm-hmm. And what was your home like, your house?
Oh, it was 5 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was just an ordinary house.
Did you have a yard? Did you have a garden still, like your parents had?
I had a yard, but not a garden.
Not a garden.
We mowed the lawn.
We mowed the lawn.
And my children never had to be told, get out of the yard, because we owned the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the same thing. We owned the yard, so it was everybody come to my yard, you know, whoever we wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never suffered that way. Like some people, you know, they had problems with their landlord. See, we never endured that.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't beautiful houses, believe me, but they were ours.
Mm-hmm. And what did your husband do for a living?
My husband worked in 30 years in the Ford company before he passed away.
Mm-hmm. And now if we go back to your childhood a little, can you tell me more about the mix in the neighborhood with all... Tell me the story.
Yeah. I've told you about the convent on one side,
mm-hmm.
the church on the other, on the opposite side from the church is the school. Then we had... Mr. Tuchel was a pharmacist. It was the drugstore. Then we had Mr. Makata, who was a tad and big grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
We knew everybody. You know, you walk down the street there, everybody knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it. I always missed that.
Uh-huh. It wasn't the same on the north end?
It wasn't. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't as close. But it wasn't as bad, you know, distant either. After a while, you got to know. But it wasn't as close, see?
Mm-hmm.
We knew Mr. Lizzie, he owned the store. Mr. Makata owned another store. My grandfather owned the shoe repairing shops. We knew the priest.
Community.
We knew the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very much at home. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
And
all my friends that grew up there, they all love it.
Uh huh.
We talk about it once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you still keep.
Well, I've lost too many. I'm 80 years old. My saddest part of getting old is losing my dear friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've lost several of them. And the ones who are around can't walk or something, they're handicapped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I guess let's...
We had fun going to Seaside Park on the bus during the summer. It was
mm-hmm.
5 cents, you know, when we got to be 13. We thought we were big... You know, biggies. And we pack a lunch and go to Seaside Park and come back. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent our evenings on the front porch. Now people don't even know what a porch is, but we lived on the front porch during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And like my boy cousins, you know, we're all in the same age, maybe older, a few years. We'd all congregate on the porch, the neighbors, and they would play guitars. And we'd sing until we were hoarse, or we'd play kick the can, and things like that, games, outdoor games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think maybe TV did separate us, so, you know.
Uh-huh.
Everybody goes
mm-hmm.
into the house to watch TV. That way you had to go out to get some, you know, enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Did your cousins live on Sherman Street
yeah.
as well? Also, a lot of the family did?
Yeah, that's how it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my cousins did. And they all married, and none of them married Italians.
Oh.
So we have a mixture in our family.
Mm-hmm.
One cousin married an Irish man, Mr. Moran, who passed away. He was a fire chief. My other cousin married Paul Mattis, who was Slovak. One did. One married a Italian. She married John. Two married Italians, I think. And Pat, my cousin Pat, he married an Italian girl.
Mm-hmm.
Not and from Italy, born here.
Born here. How did you meet your husband?
Oh, it was from friends of friends.
Friends of friends. Uh-huh. Now, you said that he didn't speak English, your father?
Well, as I say, broken. You
mm-hmm.
know, when I, you know, not like you were speaking or I'm speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to make himself understood.
Mm-hmm. So did he sell real estate to other Italian immigrants?
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. And it was a family-style restaurant?
Yeah, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
It was on East Main and Cedar, I think, or on East Main and Cedar. And that was it. And I don't know what happened to that. That whole building is gone. They're all the buildings are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Such a change came when this Thruway came, you know, this Connecticut Thruway
mm-hmm.
came, and it to cut our church, cut all those houses.
Uh-huh.
They're St. Patrick's I'm talking about.
Okay.
Not here, where I lived. It seemed to have cut the whole east side in half, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was forced either to move to the north end, you know. And that's how, then the north end became popular with Italians and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Others moved out, went up to Trumbull. But the majority of the people bought within the city, you know.
Uh-huh.
But lately, all those people that bought Irving Trumbull, they're all left the city, too.
Mm-hmm. When did you notice the change of a different wave of immigrants coming into Bridgeport?
I think they kept coming, but not as vast as... Then all of a sudden, I think after the Italians came, I think... See, a lot of Portuguese people came within
mm-hmm.
the past 15, 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Puerto Ricans, many, many Puerto Ricans. We didn't have that many when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So immigration, they came in fast and furious.
Uh-huh.
Now, ours was steady but slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And when your grandparents came over, your mom came over after them, they...
My mother came with them.
Oh, she came.
About 15 years
mm-hmm.
old. And then, like, my grandfather like sent for somebody in his family,
mm-hmm.
and my cousin's parents sent somebody, you know, sent a few,
uh-huh.
to, you know, that they had. I don't know if they still do. I remember them before they came. They had to have jobs for them, whoever was coming,
uh-huh.
and you had to take care of them in your house until they mm-hmm. were able, you know, go on their own.
And
I don't know if they still do that.
Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of the family. That's why a lot of your family is concentrated.
They all worked and they had to go to work, and
mm-hmm.
that's why the families were all together in the same neighborhoods or something. You know?
Mm-hmm. And your dad was your grandfather was a shoemaker in Italy too. That was his trade.
I think he came with that trade. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it was his trade. And then when the sandals came in and sneakers came, whatever, but I think his business went right down.
Mm-hmm.
People would buy sandals or sneakers.
Uh-huh. And when did that shop go out of business?
Oh, he died, and that's when it went out. And we sold it
mm-hmm.
for our parents. And after, there was no more of a shoemaker shop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The person that bought it didn't use it as a shoemaker store. I don't know what it used it for, you know, but it wasn't a shoemaker store anymore.
Uh-huh.
Of course, on one side was the shoemaker, his work, and he would get this leather come in and he'd cut the leather. On the opposite side, there was like a little counter, and on the counter, there was penny candy.
Uh-huh.
So everybody would come in and buy penny candy. And
now,
he got to know the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So he, that was part of his
shop,
too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, a variety of stuff, like notebooks or, you know, nothing elaborate.
Uh-huh.
Five and dime things, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he worked that counter, too?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, combined, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, this side was the candy, and that side was his machine that, you know, he used to do the leather on his shoes, and his counter with his nails and his hammers. And that's the way it was. That's the way they made their living.
Mm-hmm. And did your grandmother do anything?
Well, she,
I mean, besides,
she never went. No,
she
no,
she didn't go
she
out
really
into the
work.
For,
but she worked in the store there.
Oh, she did help in the store.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was very family oriented.
Mm-hmm. Did your cousins work help out in the store?
We did, but not them, because I think my cousins had a store of their own.
Oh, okay.
And so they worked in their store.
Mm-hmm. What kind of store was that?
It was also a grocery store.
Uh huh.
No shoemaking.
Just a grocery store.
And so, that's the way it was.
Now, did, also, you all owned your own business, like, a lot of your family owned their own business?
Yeah, they owned their store, they owned their house.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't beautiful houses, but as I say, we owned them.
Mm-hmm. Was that popular for a lot of people you know, have their own business?
It was very important to them, to the people who came to make a living and buy their own little place, you know. They weren't fussy like nowadays, you know, they want everything, furnaces and so on and so forth. They bought an ordinary property, you know. And, of course, when you hear the prices they pay, it's like $3,000-$4,000 you were able to buy a house.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. Can't even buy a car.
I know.
So you see, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, that was a lot of money, but I mean, it's reasonable. It was reasonable. Now, I don't think it's reasonable. I think it's way beyond everybody's reach.
Mm-hmm. Did men have a problem with women, like, working, or as long as they helped out, they really?
Well, the women, you know, they weren't like now. They were, whatever they were told to do, they did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're more forward, you know. I think the unions helped the women to become more strong,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they had to stand up to their bosses, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were part of the, I think they helped. I don't know if they, you know, did it all, but after all, if you're going in and telling, most all men owned were the leaders, you know, they all owned. I don't think any lady really owned a factory them days.
Uh-huh.
They may have owned a store, you know, a little store, dress store or something, but everything was owned by men.
Uh-huh.
And ran mostly by men, General Electric, everything, all these corporations. And of course, we had a lot of factories in that area, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I
we had the Singer Manufacturing Company, not too far away. We had General Electric. We had all these factories, lots of factories.
Mm-hmm.
This was an industrial city, right downhill after, you know, after the Second World War.
Mm-hmm. That's when you noticed the decline in the industry.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think Bridgeport was one of the leading cities, industrial cities in the state.
Mm-hmm.
We had they manufactured ammunition for the war. That factory was gone night and day while the war was on.
Did you work in a factory during the war, or you just...
I always worked store work.
Store work?
Or dress work, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what about your sister? Did she work?
Yes, she also worked in the dress factory. And she passed away when I was 29. I was very fond of her, too. She died with spinal meningitis within 6 days.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Is wonderful.
do you have any other stories or anything that you want to
Not that I think that would interest anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you something personal. Like, I had a couple miscarriages, and I had was sick with tuberculosis.
Oh.
Things like that, but that has nothing to do with, you know. I don't think anybody would be interested in my case history. So, things like that. My husband suffered with emphysema for 8 years. I could tell you a lot of sad things, too, but I mean, they weren't interested. Mm-hmm.
Do your children still live nearby, right?
My children?
Mm-hmm.
Bernadette is 10 minutes away. She has her own condo. My son has been in Newtown for close to 35 years, 32
mm-hmm.
years, 32 years.
And what does he do?
He's been with the gas company
uh-huh.
most of his life. Won't be long, he'll be retired. Yeah. And he raised his two boys, but my grandson is in Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Newtown High and everything. That's what.
Okay. All right.
Ask me more questions, but I mean, I, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's all. I really don't have. I mean, I didn't go traveling like some people are, you know, they really have an eventful life. Mine was just an ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful for it, though. I'm grateful for all the nice people I've met. On the whole, I think it was a pretty good life.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't reach for the moon as much. We were grateful for what we had.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because we saw people surrounded. We were surrounded with people that had a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you realize
how
fortunate
you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I think they've overdone it now. Now it's, they get the car, they want another car. They get the car, another car, they want something else. They're always out. I mean, you're concentrating on those things instead of the ordinary things that make life worthwhile.
Yeah. Now, do you still volunteer at
mm-hmm.
St. Patrick's?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing that for?
10 years.
10 years. And what do? You
go, I go there on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's only about 5 hours a day, 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, answering the phone.
Helping out in the rectory.
I don't clean or anything.
No, you just, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, like if you need a baptism certificate, I write one up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised how these things are needed for either going to another city or going for another school. You know, parents
mm-hmm.
have to bring the child's birth certificate or baptism certificate, I mean. And especially if you're going from one Catholic school to another.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then if you need your marriage certificate, maybe you know, during the course of your time, you feel you need one to go to Canada or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So you come there. Those are the little things I do.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly answering the phone.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just fixing the envelopes and the bulletin, looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Menial things, nothing.
It's good to volunteer at the church, though.
It gives me a chance to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice there. And there's, of course, the secretary, the real secretary, who runs the whole, you know, show. And people come in to have masses said and done, you know, for the week. Each day there's a mass for someone or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the day goes by. And then I go, Bernadette takes me to her library. This past week, I borrowed books and coded them at
uh-huh.
the library. I was there yesterday, in fact.
Oh.
Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm able to get around, I'm going to go. And that's about it.
Okay.